I want to ask you a question this morning. First of all, understand we're talking about every say, let God be true, and every man a liar. So we have to understand that there's choices that we make. And those choices are really important. We can listen to God and do what he says, or we can listen to man and do what they say. And how many know people are opinionated? How many know people are opinionated? Okay? And they feel strongly about what they feel like. But we have to say, let God be true and every man a liar. I want to talk to you about the deception of how we were created. Because there's a huge deception out there, and it's been taught with you. Guys in the back, you got flow, you got to be sharp today, okay? So show the picture of the one that you've probably all seen. from the ape to the human. Give me that picture and show me that as soon as you can. How many remember this picture? You know what? You got the little ape and then you got the monkey. And how many remember this? How many saw that? How many were saw that? Raise your hand real high if you were taught that. You saw that in high school. Look all over the room. All over. You saw that. Here's the reality. This is true, and this is true. None of this is factual. I'm going to say this again. Some of you look at me like, I've never heard that. I'm telling you the truth. None of this is factual. What is all this? All this is an artist's drawing. That's all it is. I said, that's all it is. But let me just tell you, if all you go to eat your food is a round table, and ever since you were little, you always went to a round table, and you were 3 and you went to a round table, and you were 4, you went to a round table, you were 38 and you went to a round table, you were 58 and you went to a round table. If you went up to a square table, that'd freak you out. You'd be like, man, where do some of you, when we were over in the North Sanctuary, how many had a favorite place to sit? You always sat there in the North Sanctuary. Raise your hand. Come on, tell the truth. You know, you always sat in that same place. And then we came over to the South Sanctuary, and you're like, because it was so different, you're like, where do I sit? I don't even know where I sit today. You know what I mean? And here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that Darwin was born in 1808. So, and he lived throughout the 1800s, mid-1800s. And so we have learned this. We have been taught this. And nobody will tell you all this is unscientific. All this is unscientific. All this is just an artist drawing. How many know the professor won't tell you that at Cal State LA? Matter of fact, I have 3 things that are going to prove to you. Everybody say prove. Listen. If all we had was Genesis 1:1, show me Genesis 1:1, guys. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's say that together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If that's all we had, then praise God, let God be true and every man a liar. But I'm telling you, I want to just for the time that we have, talk to you about the farce, the craziness, the unscientificness of Darwin's theory of evolution. Which Darwin's theory of evolution, he believes, he theorized that. Go to number 5. Go to number 5. So this is Darwin's tree of life, okay? And you got plants and simple life forms down at the bottom, and then up at the top you have more complicated life forms. Here's the reality. If you take away the non-scientificness from this diagram, You know what you have? You have life forms. But you know what you have? You have no trunk. You have no branches. You have none of this. You have no tree. All you have is birds. All you have is fish. All you have is mammals. All you have is man. All you have is plants. You know what you have? You know what you have? All you have is what God created.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you look at me like a dog with a new pen. You don't know what to do. You're like, oh, I've never seen this. I never even heard this before. I never heard that Darwinism was what evolution was non-scientific. Well, why didn't you hear that? Here's why. Because you were taught Darwinism by somebody who believed Darwinism. Darwinism is a belief. The evolution, to believe that man evolved from a single cell organism is absolutely, absolutely, astonishingly unscientific. And I'm going to show it to you today. Because I want you to walk out, not to say, you know what, and thank God that you should say, if God said it, you believe it, that settles it, praise God, let God be true and every man a liar, and that's great and that's wonderful. But here's the thing, we have been taught so much Darwinism, so much evolution, that most people, and I'm talking about most Christians, in their back of their mind, when the people get on the internet, when you talk about Darwinism not being true, evolution not being true, evolution not being unscientific, they will call you all kinds of names. They will call you stupid. They will call you an idiot. They will revert to name calling. Let me tell you about our universities. Our universities used to be a place where you could have one person's point of view and another's point of view, and the universities would say that one of their shared beliefs, one of the things that they held up as a standard of a university, was that at a university we can have different opinions and we can debate those opinions. How many know our universities are not like that at all anymore? There is a typical view that is held as correctly, and anyone else that doesn't believe in that, you know what, is out of bounds. And this is true, but it's particularly true concerning Darwinism and evolution. I'm not arguing from a point of view. Here's what we were taught. We were taught that you can believe in science and evolution, or you can believe in creation, which is really not very scientific. Can I tell you the truth? They're lying to us. And what's happening is, understand, Darwin was born in 1809, and he's dealing with very, very simplistic scientific methods and scientific beliefs. DNA wasn't even discovered till 1957. DNA absolutely will prove that Darwinistic theory is absolutely unscientific. But even before that, somebody say even before that. Darwin knew that he had a big problem. Here's why. Here's what he believed. He went to the some island and he saw these finches, and he noticed that over a period of time the finches' beaks evolved. So he said this: if a finch bird can evolve to be able to catch a worm better, then I'm going to theorize that's how all creation was created. Here's the problem. Never, everybody say never.
Never.
Never in history, no scientific professor, you can ask them at Yale, you can ask them at Harvard, you can ask them at Stanford, you can ask them at Rio Hondo College, you can ask them at Rio Hondo, you can ask them at El Rancho, you can ask them at the junior high. No scientists will be able to tell you that there is a change provable. Everybody say provable. See, you can think whatever you want, and it's fine if they say, this is what we think, this is what we think. There's nothing wrong. The problem is they look at creation in the universities and the schools, and that comes into the homes, and you start, as a Christian, start to think that you are the one who are inferior. And what I'm saying is, these scientists, these very, very smart, these mathematicians from MIT have looked at Darwinism and said it's absolutely broke of any intelligence. That anybody with any understanding of real intelligence, if they're really going to look at scientifically, here's what you're going to come up with. This is craziness. Now, quickly, and you have to stay engaged. Look at your neighbor and say, you've got to stay engaged on this. You know, if you're going to start thinking about the spaghetti outside, you're going to miss it. And listen, we can't afford to miss it. Because we've got to understand there are logical holes, huge holes in Darwinism that we should know. And let me just teach it to you. You're going to teach me that in the next 15 minutes? Yes, and here's why. Because it's simple. It's simple science. It's simple math. It's simple logic. And I'm going to teach it to you. It's going to be, it's the three questions that the young lady asked. And I'll simply go over those with you. The first is this. She asked the professor, how by natural selection and random mutation can the randomly produce new and better structures? She said, Pastor, I don't even know what you just said. Okay, let me break it down for you. Natural selection. What's natural selection? Here's what natural selection is. It's not knowing any codes. It's you randomly have a combination lock, and without knowing the code, you randomly turn to 8, then 4, then 36. You don't know, and it won't open. So you randomly turn it to 10, 16, and then 34, and that won't open. You don't know the code. You're random. Everybody say random. It's random selection. It's apples fall and they fall, and however they fall, they fall. It's randomly. And that's what Darwin thought. Darwin thought randomly or by mutation. What's a mutation? A mutation is DNA, DNA that is produced, and in its production, less DNA comes about. So it's a mutation. Everybody say mutation. Mutation. How many know if you had a mutation in your hand, it wouldn't be a good thing? Hello. Mutation. Animals that are born in mutation are cripples. Do you understand that? That's a mutation. It's actually a de-evolution. Does this make sense? So what she's asking is, if you have this randomness, it's just by chance. If you have this randomness, or you have these natural selection, or you have this random mutation, how does that, from that, which is what Darwin believed, there's no God who's designing this. You were just, it just went, there was just this big explosion, boom, and then randomly there was this one cell organism that became, we don't know why, he can't tell you why, but randomly it became a polywog, and the polywog randomly became a fish. And here's the magic wand. You know what the magic wand to this is? Over time. Everybody say over time. And here's what she asked. She said, how over time can random mutations or this natural selection create something that goes from bad to better? And here was the response of that professor. You know, he's, you know, sucking on his pipe. I'll have to think about that. Can I tell you why? Because scientifically, she's absolutely right. It's a physics law that says this. It's the second law of thermodynamics, and here's what it says. It says that something goes from order to disorder. It doesn't go, see, Rana, it doesn't go from disorder to order, which is exactly what Darwin said, that it goes from simple cells to more complicated, more functional, more even to the place where you popped out one day. You were developed. All of a sudden, you know what? The monkey became an ape, and the ape became a chimpanzee, and the chimpanzee became a you. And you over a period of time. Here's the problem with that. It defies, you know what? Science. Everybody say science. It defies scientific laws that we know that can be tested. So what do you do when you, guys, get ready, go show me the ape thing again. So what do we do when we when we can't find the science? Well, you know what we do? We just get a artist to draw this. Hello, somebody. Hey, do you ever know some little kid in the neighborhood, and this little kid was a terror? I mean, just an absolute crazy terror. Maybe for some of you, you say, oh, that was Pastor, that was me, amen. And did you ever talk to that person's mom? How many know moms can be delusional sometimes? And you're like, you know what? And you're thinking, oh my goodness, why won't she confess that her son is absolutely, I mean, the very, I mean, just crazy bad. No, you mean Johnny? You mean my little angel who's never done anything wrong? Hello? It sounds like you know somebody like that. Amen. Some of you had a mom like that. Amen. But here's all I'm saying. Here's all I'm saying. Here's all I'm saying. Here's all I'm saying is that, watch this. You can hang on to something that you believe so much that even the truth right in front of you, you won't let go of the lie. You won't let go of the lie. Can I tell you what Darwin really did to us, which was a huge disservice to so many people? Darwin gave us an excuse to get rid of God. Darwin gave us an excuse to get rid of God. And there's hundreds and thousands of high school students, junior high students, you know what, college students, now college professors, you know what, who believe that this is real. Can I tell you the facts? Can I tell you, does somebody want to know the facts? This is all just made up. That's the truth. And here's what she asked. How in the world can through random mutation and selective natural selection can something go from, you know what, less simple to more simple? Here's the answer. It can't happen. To more complex. It can't happen. I'll have to think about that. Okay. What's the second thing she asked? Second thing she asked is this. Watch this. The second thing she asked is this. She asked, "Are not the odds of assembling a gene mathematically impossible?" What does she mean by that? You say, Pastor, I don't understand that either. Here's what she's saying. I don't agree with this number, but those who believe in Darwinism, almost all of them believe the world is from 3 billion to 5 billion years old. What's the problem with that? Well, if you believe Darwinism, the world isn't old enough. What do you mean by that? If you take natural selection, random mutation, just coinkadinkly, they believe it takes a long time for us to mutate into something from simple to complex. Let me give you an example. Let me show you mathematically how this works. Go to 20. This is a lock. And no. Maybe I said wrong. 20. So this is a lock. Count it with me, everybody together. 1, 2, 3, 4. It has four different possibilities. And if you didn't know the combination, but you randomly, everybody says random, you randomly try to find the combination, you could find, it would be possible. At some point in time, if you had a long piece of paper, because you definitely want to write it all down, because you don't want to do the same one twice. You don't want to get confused. But if you randomly just went through all the combinations, it would take you, there's 10,000 possible combinations. How many know you could pick that lock without knowing the combination? How many know it would take you, what? A long time. How many know it would take you a long time? It'll probably take you 2 or 3 days to just figure that out, okay? How many have 2 or 3 days to figure that out? That's what I thought. But watch this. Watch this. Go to number 21. 21. Count them with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. What if you had a combination like that? Wow. How long would it take you? How many possibilities? Here it is. 10 to the 10th power. That's this number. Who can tell me what that number is? 10 billion. Everybody say 10 billion. 10 billion. Yeah, okay, how many know you got to have a longer piece of paper? Okay. Now, here's what I'm saying. Random natural selection. Randomly just trying to figure it out. How many know it's going to take you a long time? Now watch this. Watch this. Show me number 21. No. Show me number 23. Okay. Okay, let's start counting. Ready? 1, 2. No, I'm just joking. 77. Everybody say 77. How many know, you say, Pastor, what does this represent? Here's what this represents. Cells, how many know your body is made up of cells? Okay. Your cells are made up of proteins. Everybody say proteins. Okay. This number represents randomly how long it would take. The number is how long it would take randomly to come up with one protein. Everybody say one protein. Okay. Now, how big is this number? Okay. Well, here's how big this number. What's 10 to the, what, you see, we don't even get this. 10 to 77. Oh, that's probably a big number. You know, you don't understand how big. Here's how big it is. This number is so large, it is a larger number than all the atoms in the Milky Way galaxy. All the atoms, you know how small an atom is, right? Okay, somebody say really, 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 really small. All the atoms in the Milky Way galaxy, you know what? No, this number is bigger than all the atoms in the, and randomly, okay? If you just here, go to this. This is a great example. Go to number 19. Okay, time and tide wait for no man. Let's say that together. Time and tide wait for no man. Now, here's what random means. You have all these letters, and you put them in a barrel, and you shake them, and you throw them out. That's random. Random. And if you shook those out, they might come to the order of this. How many know this makes no sense? Now, see, the problem is time. If you keep on trying to do this, try 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 to do this, you don't have enough time at 5 to 3 billion years old, the earth is. There's not enough time to develop a human. It's not improbable, it's impossible. There was a great thing happened. How many know the people that go to MIT are really, 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 I don't have enough time to tell all the realities, really smart? Okay. So they did this thing at MIT, and you know how sometimes your companies have corporate picnics? they had an MIT corporate picnic. And at this picnic, it was very interesting because for the first time, the one of the professors at the math department started talking to some of the professors in the biology and the chemistry department. And the biology and the chemistry people, you know what, they're great pompons, skinny jeans, we're so smart, we know everything, Darwinism is true, you know what I mean, right? Right? And they start talking to the mathematician. The mathematician is absolutely adamant to say, you guys are crazy. Darwinism is one of the craziest. It doesn't make any, listen to me, scientific sense. It's unscientific. It's unprovable. I can prove that it doesn't work. Hello. How many would have liked to be in on that picnic? You know what I mean? You and I probably would have only understood like every third, word. But anyway, but he showed them mathematically that Darwinism doesn't work. You say, Pastor, how come this is the first time I heard anything like that. Can I tell you why? Here's why. Because James says, here, can I tell you what was going on with Darwin? Darwin, like many men, want to get rid of God. You know why we want to get rid of God? Men. We want to get rid of God because James says, you know what? When you're tempted, it's not God who tempts. It's you are tempted by your own desires. What do we want? We want to get rid of God. That's what we have particularly said in the schools. So you're not gonna find out anything about. Oh, I remember the name, the Cambridge explosion. Do you know what the Cambridge? Does anybody? I'm just asking. I'm not trying to embarrass you. And if you don't know, please don't raise your hand because I'm gonna ask you what it is. Does anybody know what the Cambridge explosion is? Raise your hand if you know. One person. Yes, two people. You were in the first service. Amen. So you kind of don't count. Amen. But watch this. One person. You know what? And that's a very very smart person back there. If you don't know. Very, very smart person. Two more. You guys were in the first service too? Oh, you weren't in the, you know what it is. Okay, good. So here's what, but notice, almost nobody knows what it is. Yeah. Right? Hey, Pastor, what is it? I'm going to tell you what it is. Go to number 12. So these are layers of the earth. Okay? And they're doing this, they're excavating, and they find all these very complicated, actually not very complicated, but relatively complicated, sea creatures at this Cambrian layer. And they call it the Cambridge explosion is because, you know what, down here they find nothing. Everybody say nothing. Everybody sing it with me. Nothing. I can't sing very good right now, but anyway. Everybody say nothing. Nothing. Everybody sing nothing. Nothing. It's funner to sing it. Nothing. Nothing. They find nothing. Now, what if Darwinism is true, what should they find? Let me tell you what Darwin knew. He knew it was a big problem. He knew, and he knew about this. They had discovered this when he was alive. He knew this is a huge problem. What's the problem? The problem is that if you go deeper, you should find simpler life forms. Should you not? Yes. If what he's saying is true, yes. You ask anybody from Stanford to Yale to Rio Hondo, you ask anyone, this is a major problem with Darwinism. Why? Because Darwinism says that we evolved. So how come when you look at these bottom layers, we can't find simpler life forms? Here's why. And here's what it was. It was what they call the Cambridge explosion. And all of a sudden, watch this. There's no life, no life, no life. And all of a sudden, whoa, boom, very developed life. Does that sound like Darwinism, or does that sound like creationalism? See, here's what I'm saying. Listen to me, Christian. You have been told that your belief in Genesis 1:1 is unscientific. Listen to me. You know who you've been told that by? people who have been told, Darwinism is true, Darwinism is true, Darwinism is true, Darwinism is true. You know, the Cambridge explosion, this is a true story, isn't even in most biology books. It's not in most science. You can't find it. Pastor, how'd you find it? You know what? I just got on the internet. The internet is filled with these truths. You say, well, how come man doesn't see it? How come? Here's why. Because we want to get rid of God. Because here's why. When you get rid of God, Romans says you get rid of his righteousness. When you get rid of his righteousness, what's his righteousness? His order of what's right and what's wrong. Are you kidding me? Have you not been watching the news? Have you not seen what's happening in Hollywood with these producers? And let's everybody look away and say, as these people are just preying on innocent ladies and not just ladies, men. Hello? Am I the only one who reads the news? Does somebody know what I'm talking about here? Like, oh, Pastor, oh, I don't got my halo. I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm talking about. And let's all just say, no, no, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. We don't want to say the emperor has no clothes. But then when finally somebody stood up and said, I'm telling you what, this is enough, this is wrong. And now all of a sudden it's like, ooh, ooh, ooh. How many know now all of a sudden, you know what, all of a sudden everybody's becoming self-righteous. Hello? The same people who wouldn't say anything. And they knew it was happening. And you know they knew, and I know they knew. Everybody knows they knew. They're not saying anything. Let me tell you why. Because man likes to live in unrighteousness. And so let's you know what? So Darwin, let's get rid of God. Let's get of, so we'll create something. Yeah, yeah, but it's not scientific. I know, but we'll just say it's scientific. We'll just say it's scientific, scientific, scientific. And then we will mock you when you say it's unscientific. That's why. Why isn't the Cambridge explosion? Why isn't it in every textbook, every biology textbook, every science? It's the truth. It's fact. It's science. Why doesn't somebody just get the calculator out and go, oh my goodness, you know what? This is a bunch of baloney. It doesn't take a genius. You don't have to be an MIT grad. All you have to do is get a calculator. You can do these calculations. It's not that difficult. Why didn't they do it? Here's why. Because man likes his sin. Man wants to stay in unrighteousness. Let me tell you it's okay, and you tell me, you know what, I'll tell you your sin's okay, and you tell me my sin's okay, and then we'll just act like everything's okay. And I'm here to tell you it's not okay. The people are lying to you. And they're lying to your kids. And it's times that Christians, you know what, would wake up and recognize this is making no sense. It's not good science. And I believe that a lot of them, there's no malice. They don't even know the science. This guy didn't know it. This guy had to be confronted by a student before he came to the knowledge of the truth. Hello? Are you understanding this? And as he was talking, he recognized, this isn't making any sense. Am I making sense to someone? And then finally, and this is my last thing, where exactly are the fossil records? I already talked about. Where exactly are the fossil records? Where are the fossil records? They're not there. Yeah, but I went to the Smithsonian. That's funny. I'm going to laugh hard when I'm driving home. I couldn't even try to do that. What's it called? Smithsonian. You know what? Yeah, but I've been to the Smithsonian Institute and I saw it. I know. Because they're able to come up with models. But what they're not able to come up with is the fossil records, because they don't have them. They don't have them. They don't exist. They exist in Darwin's head. Can I tell you what? Darwin knew. This is a true story. You can read it in his book, the Evolution of the Species, The Origin of the Species. Here's what he said. He knew that if they didn't find more fossil records that could prove his theory, that his theory was wrong. He knew that. And when they asked him about it, because this had been, the Cambridge explosion had already been proven. So watch this. So years later, just recently, up in Canada, they find a bunch of the same fossils. A bunch of the same, but they're clear. Oh, we're gonna dig deeper and find them. But guess what? They don't find them. So what do? In China, just recently, and the fossils that they found in China are almost like, they're so well preserved, they're almost like photos. Just incredible pictures. Guess what? Take a wild guess. Did they find more simpler fossils lower? Guess what? No. So watch this. So then they have these oil rigs, and in these oil rigs, they're digging deep. And they're thinking, ooh, we just got to go deeper, right? So they dig really, really deep. And when they, and all they're doing is digging for oil. But when they pull up it's called a core. They pull up this core, and the core has all these layers. Thank you. Layers. And guess what? Are they going to find them there? Oh, we're going to find them there. Guess what? They don't find them. And here's, you say, well, how would Darwin explain it? Okay, watch how scientific this is. I'm mocking right now. Watch how scientific this is. Here's what he said. He said, it's like a book. You ever had a book and you lose some pages or chapters? We just haven't found them yet. I think that we just lost some of the pages and some of the chapters. Isn't that a convenient way to explain how unscientific your theory is? Can I tell you, and I'll close with this. I'll give you one more thing to say. Let's say I'm building a little model, and let's say I'm fabricating all my own. I'm building a model of a car, and I'm fabricating all my own parts. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fabricate the tires, and fabricate the seats, and fabricate the roof, and fabricate the whole thing. And the sticks, I'm fabricating all. And of course, when you fabricate, you have different parts. You have leftover parts. Everybody say leftover parts. And I, here's the key word, and I randomly throw them into the trash. I just throw them in the trash, randomly. Can you imagine when I'm done with my car, me looking, how many know that I'm not going to look over in the trash and all of a sudden go, oh my goodness, look. When I threw those in the trash, all of a sudden they all formed together. And look, I don't have to go to the store anymore. I already have a watch. How about no, I'm not going to pull a watch out of the trash can. Can I tell you what? You say, Pastor, that makes no sense. No, what makes no sense is Darwin is, you know what, theory of evolution. It's absolutely bankrupt of sense. So why does anybody believe it? Here's why. Because they listen to the same people who say the same thing, who say the same thing, who say the same thing. No, it's true. No, it's true. No, it's true. No, it's true. It's true. It's true. And all the professors will get together and go, you huddle up and say, ooh, let's say it's true on break. 1, 2, 3. It's true. Pastor, do they not know it's true? They don't. They all believe it's true, which makes their argument even stronger as they're trying to tell you. No, let me tell you what. All you have to do is get on the internet. All you have to do is have a willingness to look. And guess what? Creation makes way more sense. It's more logical. It's more scientific. Here. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Let God be true. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the truth.
It's interesting because this has been a plan. You say, what's the point? Well, the point was to get rid of God. That's right. That's been going on for a long time, huh? But you know what's crazy? part of the one of the biggest places that this is peddled is in the schools. That's how we're getting rid of God, is we're educating people with non-truth instead of truth. And as we educate them with non-truth, they think that they're educated, and then that makes the truth nonsense. And one of the byproducts when you get rid of God is you do get rid of morality, because morality comes from God. And so when you get rid of God, then you don't have morality. Then what you think is good for you is good for you, and what I think is good for me is good for me, and who are you to judge, and who am I to judge, and everything's okie-dokie, no matter what that is. This isn't the first time that happened. This is the pattern of man without God. We see it in our Bible with the days of Noah. And you know what it said? And it said that there was evil everywhere. See, when you get rid of God, you get rid of good. You get rid of love. You get rid of right and wrong. And we can see that in our society today. Do you see it? And in the Bible it says in Noah's days, and we see it again with Sodom and Gomorrah later on, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. This is nothing new. This is the takeover plan, to take over man, get rid of God. So what do we do? Well, it's important that we let God be true and every man a liar. See, how do we do that? Well, because we know truth. We need to know truth so that we can share truth. So that truth can be known. So that evil can be pushed back. So that evil can be confronted. Well, who confronts it? You. How do you do that? Through letting God. Through knowing two things. So simple. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. How does that brings love back into the equation. Do you understand that? That we love God, and we know he's a good God. And then we love what God loves. What does God love? People. And our lives become about that. That's what we do. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We follow the way he thinks. We follow the way he treats people. We follow the way he talks. We follow the way he walks. We emulate him. We know his teachings. His teachings, we know, are true. They matter to us. And we are his mouth and his feet and his hands. And we know that he's in us everywhere that we go. And through us, he's able to let God. And the more that we'll do the first thing, love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. You know what? Instead of Netflix, instead of the Kikorian, instead of I don't even know what, League of Legends. That's big, huh? Instead of all of that, why don't we take the time to know just these three things? Why don't we spend our time knowing the truth so that we can share the truth? If we don't know it, we can't share it. We're too busy playing league that we don't take the time. We don't have to become professors, you guys. We've just got to know these three things. We've just got to be able to share our faith. We've just got to have enough God in us that we can give it to someone else. Because you cannot love God and not fall in love with people. So if you are not in love with people, you better get busy with number one. Because you can't love God and not love people. It's just impossible. Christianity is all about being unselfish. That's why we don't just come to church and learn things like this. This is a what does the Bible call it? We're a training center. That's what the church is. Well, you've been trained today to go home and do some studying. You know what I mean? And I don't mean open up a can of worms everywhere. I mean, you know what? You find out what the three things are. Study out those three things. Just understand those. Real simplicity. You know what? That you will be able to help someone who's been taught there is no God. That believing in God is complete nonsense. How ironic. Because what's complete nonsense? Yeah. It takes more faith to believe this nonsense. Yes. Which they peddle is truth and scientific, but it takes way more faith to believe that than it takes to believe your Bible. Because your Bible is all over the place, substantiated and true, scientifically. That's the irony in the whole thing. But we are followers of Jesus Christ. We are, listen to what, we believe this about ourselves. If you're brand new and you're trying to figure out, I'm still trying to figure out my journey with God, okay. But for those of us, and that's most of us, that we say, you know what? No, I'm a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm one of his disciples. Okay, then here's what we think about ourselves. And we get this stuff right from the Word of God. You know what? That we're followers of Jesus Christ. That we are children of the light. That we are to the light. We are to be the light to people around us. That we are to let our lights shine. That we're to put our light on a lampstand. I'm telling you right now, you can't do all of that if you're not falling in love with God. If you're too busy Netflixing and leaguing and I don't even know what else, playing checkers, I don't know, whatever people do. But we've got to cut time in our life that we are knowing our God so that we can be about, you know what Jesus said? I must be about my Father's business. One of the things that the Lord, and that's what we need to do as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to be about our Father's business. What is his business? People. People are his business. That's why many of you, you sit and you serve. You know what? It's why you come to church and you keep your relationship tight with God. That's what you're trying to do. You're just learning about God. You know what? Moving more to be like he's asked us to be. You know what? But our perfection is already there in Christ Jesus. Do you understand that? It's his righteousness. So, you know what? We don't play the shame game. You know what I mean? Because you already, you know what? Fall short. Your Bible told you that. You know that. I know that. But we are through him, we're working on ourselves. And we're cleaning ourselves up. And we're perfecting ourselves to be more and more like him all the time. At the beginning of the year, the Lord told us that this would be a year, you know what, where we would begin to do way more hands-on, you know what, ministry. But that's not just me and Pastor Drew. Everything that I just read, all this light stuff, that's you, that's us, that's the body. How is the kingdom of God built, Pastor George? As each one does their share. And so it's you becoming more like Jesus, that we end up loving people with the love of God. The Whittier Pregnancy Clinic is just an example of something that we do. And the Lord told me, I think about a couple months ago, you need to put up that people can see what they're part of. We're part of a lot of stuff. Good stuff, showing the love of God, helping people, pushing, bringing love and good and pushing back, you know what, just evil stuff. Loving people. So we're going to put it somewhere. I don't know where it's going to be, but you're going to be able to see when you serve, and we're here in our community, but we're way more than here in our community. We're outside of our community. At Christmas time, and this is good for Christmas just because Christmas is around the corner. You know, I'm not saying it's just for Christmas, but what I'm saying is I think it was a year and a half ago, we were still in the North Sanctuary, and the Lord said, he began to really draw my attention to the fact of all the human trafficking that was happening. And we began to seek the Lord because I know that he wants us as a church to be part of an answer to that area of darkness, that we could bring hope to a dark place. So I went to a couple of things, and I'm just searching out. But then this week, it was like, boom, the Lord was just clear as day. He's like, that's it. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. That's the one. There's an organization called Operation, Railroad. It's Underground Railroad Rescue. And here's what they do. They rescue, you know, there's slavery all over the place. They are selling people. Predominantly children, for sex trade, for sex slaves. And Operation Underground Railroad, it's a very cool organization. There's this former Navy SEAL who's one of the main people, and he has a whole operation of people, and they work with the authorities in all different countries, and they go in and they rescue all kinds of people who are being trafficked. Most of them 11 and under. And we have an opportunity. There's this, you can buy a bottle of oil. It's called Hope Oil. And this oil, it's like a perfume. I'm an essential oil girl, so it's an essential oil. It's got frankincense in there and vanilla and all this stuff in there. It's very nice fragrance. You can put it on as a perfume. You can use it as anointing oil as you go out and lay your hands on the sick. Amen. As you do things, you know what, in the kingdom of God. But you buy that bottle of oil. It's going to cost you $20 if you want to buy one. And I was thinking for Christmas we could put together cards to kind of go with it that would explain if you wanted to give that as a gift to someone. And it would explain what that is and what we're part of. And so it would bring a lot of awareness to it. Amen. As well as when you buy it for $20, every penny of the $20 goes to Operation Rescue. And I'll show you some videos where you'll see, you know, what this organization is doing and how it's helping people. But what they do is they take these oils. They used to not even be for sale. You and I couldn't buy them. They created these oils, and they would put them in these care packages and give them to these countries for the people. But through this Underground Railroad, this, you know what I mean, secrecy thing, these people end up finding out that if you peel back the label on this oil, there's information there that you can call and get help. And then that Navy SEAL and his team, they come in and they rescue these people who want to be rescued. Amen. And it's awesome what they're doing. No, it's really, really awesome. So, and then they said that was just kind of going on between an organization called Healing Hands and the Underground Railroad Rescue. And then they said, let's start selling these bottles of oil to people, that if they want to buy them, then all the proceeds will go to the Underground Railroad Rescue Mission, and then they can, you know what, do a lot more. So that's what they're doing, and they've been doing it, and the Lord just brought that to me just last week, and that's what we're going to do. You're going to have an opportunity that you can not only purchase this oil, but maybe you want to give it as a gift as well. And every time we buy oil, every time we're having oil ourselves, you know what, we're able to not only bring awareness to it, but all those funds go to rescue these children. And so I'll bring you a lot more information on that so that we can be about our Father's business. Amen. And we do that through all kinds of ways. But the love of God is what we're all about, that people would know who God is and that he loves them. And he does that through us. Amen. Amen.